Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back one more time. I usually can't hold a job this long, so I thank you for inviting me back. And, you know, I get more excited every week that I'm here. I know this seems strange to you and uncomfortable, but guess what? It seems strange and uncomfortable to me, too. The good news about it, though, is I can certainly talk to those people and meet these people that usually sit at the end of the pews that usually hide back here. So it's nice to see you up close and personal. But let me tell you, I'm a traditionalist. I hate change. If it was up to me, I would wear the same T-shirt and blue jeans and sneakers every day of the week. You know, what was good for Mom and Dad is good for me. But, you know, sometimes God asks us to come out of our comfort zone. And you get worried because I worried about, well, you know, how will you receive this? How will you receive me preaching from the back of the church? I'm sure you've never seen that before. I'm a little bit uncomfortable about it, so I say, well, how will people receive the message? Will they feel comfortable turning around and looking this way? Will I feel comfortable? And will God work in the back of the church as much as in the front of the church? We're so opposed to doing things different. I'm talking about we as people. Sometimes it's the same with we as a church. I don't know whether you know that the seven most deadly words that a person or a church can say is, we've never done it that way before. How many have heard that? We've not done it that way before. It puts a whole church and puts us as people of God to a screeching halt. And what God has for us is muted and not perfectly fulfilled. And we miss a great blessing. So I asked myself, what am I doing in the back of the church? I'm back here because God told me to preach back here. Not that I want to do this. Not that I'm comfortable with doing this. But because there are times that God wants us to come out of our comfort zone so that we can minister for Him, for Him. The message today is the second and a six-part series of being what He made us to be as a church and people of God. Does anybody remember the title of the first part? We will... Nobody was here last week. We were what? We will dance. That's when we talked about David being excited about bringing God into Jerusalem, his city, and bring his presence of God into his city. We're going to talk about a different character today, and this character is Joshua. Anybody remember Joshua? Remember Joshua in the Battle of Jericho? What a great story, and that's what God gave us today. Because if it were not for Joshua coming out of his comfort zone, the nation of Israel would have never entered the promised land. So let's go to our Bibles. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. For those of you that don't have Bibles, we do have them in the pews. I don't know what page number, but you can grab your NIV. And I will be reading from the NIV. Again, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16 and 20. But before I do that, I want you to turn to your neighbor or grab somebody and tap them on the shoulder and says, we're going to get excited to study in God's Word. All right. Hey, this is working out better. I mean, I think the first week we tried this, everybody was tentative. This is good stuff. So let's go to to God's Word and see what He has to say to us about coming out of our comfort zone. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carrying trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now let's go to verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you as your vessel. I ask, Lord, that you will speak through me, that anything of myself is just placed aside, that your words will come out clear and concise for all of us so that we can learn a little bit about your people and how they were obedient to you and faithful to you, and they've stepped out their comfort zone to win the war and take the promised land. So with that, Lord, I pray for your special anointing today. I just pray that your presence will be here. I just pray, Lord, that we usher in your presence and that we can sense that you have something important to say to us as people and to us as a church. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. What a story. Here you have the city of Jericho. And you have a city that was shut up tightly. Shut up tightly in those days meant iron doors shut, bolts put on. And the Lord says to them, "I have given you the city," which meant that the victory was assured. Now, what led up to this point? What led up to this point is Joshua, with God's grace and mercy, entered into the promised land. Matter of fact, only 2 people from that generation entered into the promised land. 2 people from the generation that crossed over the Red Sea entered in the promised land. One was Joshua, and the second one was Caleb. Only two. They were also part of the first group that spied out the city in the promised land. And they were the only two that had positive things to say about going in and taking the land. 10 of the 12, I think there was 10, or maybe there was just... Anyways, most of them said, I see giants, and when we're fearful. Most of them said that. Two people, Caleb and Joshua, says, I see a land of milk and honey. I see a land of milk and honey. This is a continuation of that story. They have just crossed over the Jordan. They're ready to go into battle. And again, they faced the giants of Jericho. What was interesting is they spied out the city. They talked to an individual named Rahab. And Rahab said something very interesting. Because again, most of Israel saw giants. And Rahab said to the spies that, we've been fearful of you all these years. Can you imagine walking in the desert for 40 years, being fearful of taking the land, when you find out that the enemy is more afraid of you? 40 years walking in the desert, and you find out that the enemy was more afraid of you. More afraid of you. Think about that. So as we begin this passage, the first battle that they had to face was the Battle of Jericho. And here we go. It was not to be taken lightly because Jericho was a fortress. It was, some reports say it was 30 to 60 feet. The walls were 30 to 60 feet high, and that the walls were also 300 feet deep. Pretty awesome. And how is that? How is it with those dimensions? Because you had a retaining wall, you had an outer wall, you had a cliff, and you had an inner wall. And all that totaled around 60 feet. Looks pretty impossible, doesn't it? Can you imagine looking up 60 feet, knowing that there are two or three walls you have to go through? Can you imagine looking up and seeing that obstacle? And not only do you have that obstacle to bring down, you also have the same giants. These were big people. These were big people in Jericho. But the Lord had told Joshua that I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king, its king and its fighting men. Did he say, I'm going to deliver you? Did he say that? Did he say, maybe sometime in the next week, I'm going to deliver them to you? What did he say? He's already done it. I have delivered to you the city with its kings and its armies. Can you believe that? I get to see the excitement when Joshua first heard those words. Can't you? He saw the land of milk and honey. He saw opportunity. Not only that, he saw victory. He saw victory. And those walls meant nothing to him, however high, however deep. Because he knew before he even started the battle that it was won. Can you imagine him listening? God's giving him instructions. And he said, let me see if I got this straight, God. You want me to gather all our armed men and march around the city for 6 days, right? And what does he say? Cool. We can do that. Then he says, God, what else is here? I have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. Wow. That's way cool. So what you're telling me, you want us to bring the Ark of the Covenant with us in the middle of the parade, in the middle of the march. Do you remember last week what we say? What we said was the importance of the Ark of the Covenant? What was it? Excuse me? Absolutely. That is this mercy seat in which the presence of God resided. I can just see the excitement just build up with Josh. Wow! Wow! We don't have to do anything. We gather people, we just go around the building, and it's going to be delivered. And then he said, okay, God, let's get this straight. I need more. Come on, tell me more. On the seventh day, you want us to march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. I can do that. I got it. Okay, what's the last instruction? Thank you, God. After a long blast from the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse. Oh, what excitement. Can you just feel that building up in Joshua? God talking to him. Yes! That's all I got to do. That's all I have to do. Just bring you in my presence. Just be obedient and walk around those walls in silence and give a shout. Then he has the opportunity to instruct the people. So first he instructs the priest. He says, okay, guys, gather around. Listen up. We got a lot of work to do here, but it's going to be fairly simple. You high priest, all you priests, I want you to take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carrying trumpets in front of it, and let's just do it. Come on, let's hop to it. That's all you got to do. Get your trumpets ready. Just get ready to carry the Ark. Then he talks to the people. People, listen up. Listen up. I want you to march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Covenant, because that's what God told me. And make sure you have a rear guard, too. We want to protect the Ark of the Covenant. And I don't want you to say a word. Don't give a war cry. Don't get a whoop. Just walk in silence until I tell you to shout. And when I say shout, shout with everything that is within you. And he says, you got it? You got it? There's nothing in the Bible of any murmuring. There's nothing in the Bible about, well, maybe we should have a committee on how to march around the building. There wasn't anything in the Bible that said, wait a second. Don't you think we should pray about this for a couple of weeks or maybe a month? Don't you think we should have a congregational vote on that? It was none of that. It was great excitement because their expectations of having victory of the city. Think about that. So in verse 10, they set off. And you notice that they weren't to talk to anybody or make any noise. And the Ark of the Covenant, again, the presence of God was in their midst. And so in verse 12 through 14, the people stepped out in obedience in a quiet spirit. So they got up early in the morning and they began the first walk around the building, looking up at those walls and being quiet. They say that it takes about 1.5 hours to walk around what was supposedly Jericho. 1.5 hours of quiet, except for the blare of the trumpets to celebrate the presence of God. You know, the trumpets they used back then were the trumpets of Jubilee. The trumpets of Jubilee was to celebrate a victory. So not only were they walking around the town of Jericho, they were also actually celebrating the victory before the walls came down. Can you imagine them looking up there and being vulnerable to the enemy? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine looking up those walls knowing that at any time the army could be rushing out and try to take over the march and try to destroy the nation of Israel? Can you imagine that they weren't fortified? They were just men just walking around a city, looking at those walls. And at any time, there could have been arrows, there could have been hot oil, there could have been rocks thrown at them. And that they just did what they were told. Here we had warriors that were not to be warriors, but only to wait on God. And finally came the seventh day, and they rose again. They marched around Jericho seven times this time. Seven times. Seven times around the city, which would probably be about 10.5 hours, being open to the enemy, being quiet before God, and not hearing any sound except the sound of victory from the Jubilee trumpets. The sound of victory of the Jubilee trumpets. You know, if we tried that today, people would laugh at us. And maybe the giants in Jericho said, oh, maybe they're not as tough as we thought they were. Because we're here for battle, and they're out there just walking. Walking in the quietness of the day. Walking for 10.5 hours, blowing the trumpets. Maybe they were so fearful because they knew this God who helped the Israelites cross over the Red Sea. Maybe they were nervous. Maybe they were just in anticipation because they knew the power. They knew the power of Joshua's God. Seven times, seven blasts of trumpets. The last blast, they were told to shout. 600,000 soldiers. I don't know how many there were in the priesthood. 2 million people probably on the other hillside looking down, all shouting in unison. That must have been really awesome. It would shake me if I were the enemy, but it shook the building and it collapsed. If you look at the Hebrew for collapse, the definition is to fall down completely. It wasn't just stacked up rubble. It was a total destruction of the city. It fell flat. The whole city fell flat except for Rahab, because God protected her and her family. It fell flat the instant that they heard the trumpet. You have to ask yourself, how does this apply to us? How really does it apply to us? It applies to us because I don't know whether we get excited as we should when God gives us some unique ideas and unique ways to move forward. I don't think we get excited about what God can do in our lives like Joshua and his people. You know, we get in the rut, we do the same thing the same way every day, and we expect different results, don't we? Same thing every day, we expect different results. The good news is, just as much as he has had a plan for Jericho and for the nation of Israel, he has a plan for us. And we need to get excited about that plan and be able to step out in faith. And the battles we fight aren't just church battles.
They might be personal battles. The battle of abuse. The battle of alcoholism. The battle of addiction. The battle of pornography. Those addictions that those walls just seem so high that you just can't get over them. And you don't know how to bring them down. And yes, we fight the battle of, as a church. The battle of a changing culture. The battle against sin. The battle about seeing our children just fall into the same thing that the adults have fallen in. It's time we get excited about God. It's also time that we take that leap of faith. And you know, I don't know how God's going to use all of us. I don't know how far out of our comfort zone He's going to take. All I know is that there's excitement out there in the battle, because when you really look at it, the battle's won. And victory has already been given to us. Werner Wiersbe states, "Unbelief looks at the walls and giants, but faith looks to the Lord." Think about that. Unbelief looks at the walls and the giants, but faith looks at the Lord. So we need to get excited about God's plan, and there's a time we need to step out in faith. There's also a time in which we have to make God the center of our lives. Where was God in the march? Where was God in the march? He was in the center of the march. We too need to put God in the center of our lives. We need to be listening to Him. We need to be praying. They put God in the center of their lives, and they went out in a quiet spirit. You know, we don't have to be Bible thumpers. Sometimes that puts people off. But guess what? People know it. Think about this. People know it when you carry the Spirit of God with you. You don't have to say a word. When you carry the Spirit of God with you, people know that there's something different about you. People know that there's something different about you. So it's important that we step out in a quiet, confident spirit, waiting on God to lead us and tell us when to speak and when not to. And you know, that's tough. Sometimes we have such a zeal for the Lord that we just go out and we try to lead people to Christ, and we start talking and we never listen. We never listen to the person we're talking to, and we never listen to God to give us the words to say. If we're going to bring down the walls, we have to make God the center of our lives. And we have to be quiet before Him and get guidance from Him and to listen. Number three, if we're to be land takers, we need to be vulnerable and ready to expose ourselves as followers of Christ. Now that's tough. Who wants to expose yourselves to the world? They'll just beat you up. We're supposed to have it all together. We can't expose ourselves to others to say that we have problems too. We can't tell them we're Christians because that might scare them off. Vulnerability is tough. You know, sometimes you want to have set up trust before you become vulnerable to somebody. And in certain ways, that's okay, but there are other times that we need to be vulnerable and open for God to change us and to use us. How do we minister to somebody who has a pornography problem when we have one of on our own? How do we minister to people about their hurts when we haven't even dealt with our hurts that we have and hand them to Jesus? How do we do that? The nation of Israel was vulnerable. They were open to attack. But they knew they had the victory. They knew they had the victory. And they weren't afraid to say, we are the nation of Israel. We do carry the presence of the Lord. And we just don't care what you think about our God. Because it doesn't change his nature. It doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change the way he works in our lives. Quiet spirit, vulnerability, excitement, obedience, statement that we are who we are in Christ. I hate it when people get out my old filing cabinet. But they pull out the filing cabinet and they say, okay, Merle McGee, I remember in 19 such and such, you did so and so. Ever have that happen to you? Oh, aren't you so smug that you've not been a very perfect person? No, it's time for us to fess up and say, you know, you're absolutely right. And I'm dealing with my problem. Are you dealing with yours? Do you know I did do that and I asked for forgiveness, but God has changed my life? Do you know I have that excitement I've never had before? I've had that love that I've never sensed before. I have this commitment I've never been involved in before. And I have a true living God that I just didn't know before. So go ahead. There's a lot more. I'll give you my filing cabinet if you want it. But you know what? I'm not like that anymore. If we're also to take the land, we need to be patient. There will be times in which we think that God's not using us. There will be times in which we don't feel very victorious. Yet God will reveal the victory in his time. You think you don't touch lives? That's baloney. God just hasn't revealed to you how much you have touched lives. We continue to be what we are. We can't help to be used for the kingdom. Patience. Patience for the final shout. Patience for the final victory. We all have a lot of battles to fight. And as I said before, those battles seem insurmountable. They seem 60 feet high and 300 feet deep and very impenetrable. But be assured, we have victory. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. And what makes that victory? The victory is we know the end. To us Christians, maybe it doesn't sound that great. But for those that don't know the end, it's a very sad day. God not only has given us the city, he has given us his son. He has given us salvation. He has given us eternal life. He has given us victory on the cross from our sins. And He will give us future victory when He returns. Dear saints, we have a lot to be excited about. We have a lot to expose to God so He can heal it. If we can only come out of our comfort zone. Because we will change people to the magnitude that we change ourselves in Christ. Does that make sense? We will change people in the magnitude that we change ourselves for Christ. I'm hoping I never do the same thing the same way every day. I'm hoping He does have me do some crazy things. Because if He wants it done and He has given me the victory, what do I have to worry about? What can the world take from me? Can't take my salvation away from me. What can the world take from me? I'd like for us to pray for a fresh new spirit for all of us. I want to ask you to consider walking the streets that you live, whether it's in the country or whether it's here in Calumet, whether it's in Laurium or Hancock, or Houghton. I want you to consider walking the streets in that quiet spirit and pray that God will touch lives and influence people. I challenge you to think about that. I challenge you to be able to step out. Walking's not difficult. Walking and praying in the quiet spirit is just as easy. We are victors. We are not victims. And God just gave me an urge to say that again. We are victors. We are not victims. Do I have a shout for that? This church says amen. Okay, let's hear that again. All right. Let's do it. Let's come out of our comfort zone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for Your word. I thank You so much for how it penetrates all of us and how through the example of Joshua we understand what You want for our lives. Dear Lord, I just pray for that excitement each and every day. I pray for change even though I hate it. I pray, Lord, that You will make me and make this congregation and make the people of God be able to come out of their comfort zone and be able to listen to You and to step out with that quiet spirit. I pray, Lord, that we make ourselves vulnerable to others and to You to expose those fortresses that we just can't seem to overcome. Lord, if there's anybody here that is facing those fortresses, facing those things that come against us, facing those things that inhibit our ability to minister, those things, as I said before, like alcoholism, addiction, abuse, pornography, gambling. If there's anybody here that has those problems, I'm praying for you right now. That those walls come down, they come down flat. That there is nothing that protrudes out of the ground that is a remnant of those things that pull us down and make us less than what God wants us to be. I pray for you right now. If there's anybody here that doesn't know the victory in Jesus, our Savior, it's really simple. He gave His Son and nailed Him to that cross. And those sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. And from His blood, He has given us salvation. If there's anyone here that hasn't heard that story and that wants to know about salvation, it's really easy. Christ's blood has done it all on the cross. So easy to accept them, to repent of those sins that take us down, to pray that those barriers come down, and just accept them as your Lord and Savior. So I ask, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus, that today is a day of victory. With that, Lord, I just pray that we take Your instructions each and every day and get excited about it. I pray that we're able to walk in that quiet spirit, carrying You in our hearts each and every day. I pray, Lord, that You use us. You will use us to influence lives for this community and to change them for Christ. And Lord, I pray this deep in my heart and soul. I pray this in Your name, the name above all others. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen.